Okay. Call to order the February 25th, 2019 meeting of the Common Council of the City of Washington. I would ask first for a moment of silence for our veterans and military personnel serving around the world. Thank you. Mr. President, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have a roll call, please? Yeah.
Here.
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 Here. Okay, we have everyone here, so we have a quorum. First item is the approval of minutes of the February 11th meeting. Any corrections or additions to those? Thank you. A motion by Councilman Seidbaum to approve them, and a second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Claims were in your packet. Are there any questions on any of those? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to refer those to Board of Public Works.
So
motion by Councilman, who did that? Councilman Chambers, and a second by Councilman Seidbaum. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, first item of business under our comments by members of public is a public hearing on a request to vacate a portion of Jackson Street on the northwest side of the city. Who wants to speak on that item first? Please stand and state your name and address nice and clearly so she can get it on the record. Okay, Carolyn, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. Carolyn Walls. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We just wanted to know what it's all about. I mean, they can't experience and what things
are
not on.
Okay. Is Rusty here?
No, he's not here.
Okay.
I thought I told him I talked for him, whatever.
Okay. All right. What this is about is Jackson Street tees into 17th Street. When that whole neighborhood was platted back in the 1800s, it was there was a 40-foot wide strip left to potentially extend Jackson Street west. And we've had a request to vacate that 40-foot section. And it would then be split down the middle between Mr. Trailer on the north side and Gilbert on the south side. So that's what that would be.
Extend about 56 feet, I think, isn't it?
The depth of those two lots there.
It would not impede your field whatsoever. It ends right at, I know the way you read that, it made it sound like you were on his property.
No.
Is the way you read it.
The big thing with us is we have a plan, and we kind of want to know where the surveyor is, so the boundaries, so they can come in and do the farming.
Yeah, it's right there where you see that tree line. It does not, that's why I said it does not impede your field whatsoever.
So that's what we want to
right.
know. Okay, thank you.
For the council's purpose, you have a map of it. It came off of GPS in your packet, I believe, as well as Ed went and got the original plat from 1890 when that was platted. And yeah, it basically ends at the back line of the two properties there. Yeah, the tree line, basically. Are you opposed to that vacating, or in favor of it, or Anybody just want to say?
Yay,
nay, or basically that vacant between those two properties is what we're talking about. 40 foot wide by probably about 45 deep. 56 deep.
And it's just not used to get access to that field.
No. No.
And it's too small to be a road for today's standards. So that's why.
No.
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 That's the point. If Rusty takes it over, there cannot be a road. You know,
right.
The city or water would have to buy that off of him, plus additional land to create a road. So it would be to your benefit, really, not to have a road.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Martin Paget. We actually own the field on the other end of it, and I'm speaking against it because even if there's not a road there, we still would lose our access to that square from utilities or whatever else would be for that end of the property. That was the reason we bought it in the first place. We owned it for since 6 years now. And then we end up a year ago getting another property right beside that one. So that's our hope sometime in the future to actually build on that. Maybe we'll have to have access to it for opposed to being closed.
Okay. You realize that isn't wide enough to develop a street through there.
Right, but still there would be, we'd have to get utilities for that property as well, and, I'm not sure exactly where all the utilities run through there, but we'd have to have access,
Do you know where the utility access would be, Ed, by chance? I presume there's utilities on 19th Street, is there not? If they could come in that way.
We own the stretch from the property over to 19th.
Right.
It's a long stretch to run utilities just too much.
I think the sewer line on 17th is totally shallow. Depending where you build, if you can get ground before there or not.
Right.
If there is water there, down on 19th is water and sewer.
But how would you, if you did go deep, how would you get to your property anyway? Would you have to build a road?
Yeah. Well, we will, but we own the acre ground there, so
you would have enough room to build a road to those homes?
Or an actual well, that or if you had.
Yeah, we could
possibly even
throw
more than one rental property on it.
Well, here's the thing.
Sure.
The property runs.
Right.
Okay. So if you're wanting access to it, you have to have permission to go on that.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just trying to get rid of the piece of property that we can't use.
Yes.
If I can switch hands here and
become
the board chairman for a minute. To build
property. You might say your name and your position for us.
Yeah. For the property to be built on, if they would want to trust that extension, they would have to have a road built. You cannot build a residence without access to a public street. 19th Street would work, but they would have to have, they could not use this section as the public street to build on that property because it's too small. They would have to have a variance from the zoning board and we would be unlikely to give it.
And what he's saying is you couldn't put a road across there because it's not wide enough under current street standards.
It's still be cutting access off for, if we wanted to bring utilities in.
Well, we could probably retain it easily across if we wanted to, couldn't we?
Mm-hmm. Do we have a power pole back there, Randy?
It's secondary?
Yeah. Okay, so it's not a concern then for you?
Well, it must depend when we vacate streets and stuff, we retain that right of passage for easements, don't we, Ed?
Yes. If there's existing utilities in there.
We don't know if there is now or not.
I don't
what exactly is it being used for now? Anything?
Just growing up in grass and weeds and trees. And last year, Mr. Trailer was here asking the city to come in and clean it out, which our street department guys did do and clean the brush out. And he's been mowing it, I think, since then.
Well, are we supposed to act on this tonight? Are we just discussing it? But I'd actually move that it be tabled because I know there was a statutory criteria at one time, Tim.
What we need to do is do it by ordinance.
But we need to make certain findings that it doesn't, you know, affect the rights of a school or a church or a public place or whatever that's
related to the extension down there, number two.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be part of the findings we need to make, right?
Okay.
But for us to proceed with doing that, we would need a motion to do that.
We would need a motion, to approve the petition and to direct me to prepare an ordinance.
Read that so I'll remember what it...
All right. Petitioners believe that the vacation of the street herein described would not hinder the growth or orderly development of the neighborhood in which the street is located. Petitioners believe that the vacation would not make access to the land of abutting landowners difficult or inconvenient. The vacation would not hinder the public access to a church, school, or other public building or place. The vacation will not hinder the use of a public way by the neighborhood in which it is located or to which it is contiguous.
And who exactly are the petitioners?
It's the Trailer.
Russ Mahoon. Russ the Trailer and Jan Trailer, who own the house to the north. Mm-hmm.
Are you satisfied that those criteria are all met, Tim?
Honestly, I hadn't given that a whole lot of thought. I didn't feel like that was my decision to make it.
Okay.
I would think that it would definitely be inconveniencing our property. That was put in there. It would not be inconvenient. It would definitely be inconveniencing.
Now, as I understand, the one thing that the city could do is vacate it so that Mr. Trailer and Mr. Gilley would own it, but the city could retain an easement for utility access. Correct?
Yes, we can do that, sure.
So that if your concern is utility access, we can retain the right to go on the property and install electric or sewer or whatever.
Is the rest of the street wider access than 40 foot?
It is not, but that's grandfathered in. So.
It's considered a street that's not improved, but it is
part
of the street.
It was, when that whole neighborhood was laid out, Mr., what was the guy's name? Kidwell laid that out and laid the streets out and left that 40-foot wide for a street, but the street was never put in. So.
So, Mel, did you get the paper or show for Goat's Land?
Took it all in.
Did you actually get that picture where the road is?
No.
I was just curious if that was your property. That would run into it anyway. It is your tractor. Yours goes all the way to Rusty's house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know, but in my mind, I can't picture. You know what about the trailer house? Just the only house there.
Oh,
you know.
Land across the
pool.
See the house on the
okay,
right.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I thought the house property at
okay.
And then,
I missed that.
Where that tree line was not kept.
I'm sorry.
No, we own Jackson Street. If it
continued
on
to
the
19th, it
would run right through our
property. So it would run through you. Okay, that was my question.
We own all what would have been.
Okay.
And all
I did not realize you owned that far.
Yes, ma'am.
I haven't had a survey, but it'd be a few feet north of that where Jackson Street would have came all the way down to the other houses.
Any other questions or any other comments from the public or?
Well, the only question did you answer is if we would give you easement for the utilities?
Well, I was just like I said, I'm just saying if the street has to be closed, then it should technically be open now. It just wasn't approved. You know, you're saying it's not wide enough to actually put a street, but it is actually platted as a street.
No, the street was the street Jackson Street.
Yeah.
Is grandfathered in. Any street that you build from this point on has to be.
It's not considered.
The
it's not considered a street that's not improved.
No.
No.
I don't know. What was it? 60 feet?
60 feet of.
Yeah, so,
it is right in.
You know, we don't have
50 feet?
For a through street, 60 feet for a cul de sac, 50.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And that's 40 feet.
So a street couldn't be put in there anyways without you'd have to buy property from the two property owners. As far as getting utilities there, if that's your concern, would that suffice what you prefer?
If the city vacates, it has to go to those two property owners?
Yes.
That it would be more valuable than it would be in the end.
Yeah, but that's the order.
Mm-hmm. All right. Side again.
No. Did Francis sign? Did she say she wanted it?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
You mean you're going to force it on her whether she wants it?
I mean, I'm doing it properly. Yeah. That's automatic. Just
what if she doesn't want it?
She could deed it to Rusty or to anybody else.
I'm just curious.
I mean, it originally belonged to those two adjoining property owners before the.
So that's why it's
right.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
That's
just my question.
So, counsel, what do you prefer to do? We can do nothing, or we can enter a motion, second it, and pass it to then. Proceed toward an ordinance doesn't necessarily mean, though, that we would vacate the property yet because we have to have two hearings or two readings of that ordinance.
I move for a resolution that the city attorney draw a proposed ordinance for consideration at the next meeting.
Okay.
Well, okay. Marty, do you need some more time to think about this?
Well, I mean, you know, our. When we bought the property, the drawing was that the street could continue on to our property. So that's what our thought was. We wanted to use both ends of our property. So it's very, you know, if you only have to access one end, that's very, that decreases the value of a lot.
Would you be likely to put a drop up? Of course, you couldn't put a drive through there, could you? It would have to be a street. You'd have to build the street, and it would. We really couldn't put a street in there because it's not wide enough, correct?
So we need to the standards, John.
So. So I guess the only other option, I mean, you're going to have to enter from 19th Street no matter what because you can't put a street in from that direction, so.
With the exception of buying property off of Rusty.
Right.
And Francis.
You'd have to buy.
Which you would have to do anyway. So if we lease it, you can still buy the property. You know, if we. I'm just telling you, I don't think that that unless you offer us an exorbitant amount of money.
Well, we have a motion to proceed with the drawing up of an ordinance. We'll have a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second to proceed with instructing the attorney to draw up an ordinance to vacate the property. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Did we put in there to keep an easement or not? We can put that in the ordinance. Yeah, we can put in for that.
You've got the more on that.
Like I said, I think we always do.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
It seems like it. Yeah, I think we'll do it.
Okay.
We can do that. Make that a minimum 20 wide.
The easement?
The easement.
It's just center line on it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, I am going to have to do a temporary adjournment of this meeting because I forgot we need to have a hearing prior to the meeting on this additional appropriation. And we have to do that before we can take up the ordinance. So, I'm not sure parliamentary procedure. I don't remember from my FFA days, but I'm going to just adjourn this meeting. I don't remember if that fits with all the Robert's Rules of Orders, but temporarily adjourn the meeting, and we will have a public hearing on ordinance number 6-2019, which is the ordinance concerning the temporary borrowing of a draw ban of $1.7 million. With the potential to use another $200,000 from our edit fund for cash flowing the construction bills on 50. And this would be a temporary loan during that construction, the in and out that we talked about last week. Chris, do you have anything else you want to say about that? Did I pretty much cover that?
So this is a public hearing on the additional appropriation.
Right. This is not considering the appropriation yet, just the public hearing on it.
That's right.
Okay. Right. Yes. Are there any public comments on that ordinance? Okay. Hearing none, seeing none. I will adjourn the hearing, and then I will call back to order the February 25th, 2019 meeting of the Common Council. My apologies for that. I'm not allowed to make a mistake today. Okay, let's see. Item, we have no, are there any comments from the public on anything else on the agenda before we proceed on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we have no resolutions for tonight. We do have some ordinances. First is ordinance number 4-2019. Could I have a motion to have second reading on that ordinance, please?
Moved by title only.
Okay. I have a motion by Councilman Sidebottom to read it by title only and a second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Tim?
Ordinance number 4-2019, an ordinance setting fees for use of each side park facility.
Okay. Any questions on those? We read those last meeting. Any questions on those or concerns?
I make a motion to approve it.
Okay. Motion by Councilman Sidebottom to approve the ordinance, and a second by Councilwoman Decker to pass this ordinance. And we will need a roll call vote on that, please. Yeah.
Aye.
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 Okay, if I heard it right, that passes unanimously. That will go into effect immediately. Next one is final reading of Ordinance 5-2019. Could I have a motion to read that one, please?
So
by title only?
Title.
Okay. Second. Thank you. Motion by Councilman Singleton, and second by Councilman Gall to read it by title only. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Tim?
Ordinance number 5-2019, an ordinance concerning the issuance of general revenue bonds.
Okay. This is what we just had the hearing on, concerning the draw ban. Chris, do you have anything else you want to say about it?
This is actually the bond ordinance, and then the next one you'll look at is the appropriation ordinance, and both of those are up for adoption tonight. The third thing you'll look at tonight, and I'll just kind of preview that, is ordinance 7-2019, that's the creation of a redevelopment authority. All of these are for the U.S. Highway 50 project. There was a question that Councilman Chambers asked last time that I wanted to kind of give a supplemental response to. He asked about Section 18D of the bond ordinance, and it was insurance, and what does this provision mean, and is this standard? And essentially what it says is this. Both during the project and after the project, you need to make sure that you have insurance and fidelity bonding, which is performance bonds, to make sure that the project is covered, as required by typical projects and also as required by NDOT. And what that gets to is this, and this is super common with like sewer and water, and is a standard provision. I would say over the last 10 years, bond holders or potential buyers are expecting it. And what it requires you to do is during construction, while you're building the facilities, that you have to have coverage for that. So if it's struck by lightning, it catches on fire, you have enough money to where you don't have to go out and borrow more money, but you have insurance proceeds that will let you finish it. If you don't have these provisions, or if you don't have a performance bond while it's being constructed, you have a wayward contractor that goes away, if you don't have these provisions, and if for some reason the city didn't have that coverage, you may not be able to finish the project. You wouldn't have enough money. And you may have to go out and issue more bonds, which would be more debt service, which would make these bonds riskier and maybe carry a higher interest rate. So what it does is really twofold. It requires you to have performance bonds with your contractors, which you guys do that anyway on your public works projects, to make sure that you're not hurt by a waiver contractor. And then after the project's done, you're supposed to have the coverage that's typical for these situations. So the mayor and I have talked. I'm not sure how, you know, a sewer plant, a water plant, those are pretty easy to cover. I'm not sure what you do about roads. Maybe, I wonder if you can think of earthquakes, maybe, if a meteor came down and struck the road. I'm not sure exactly what that might be, but we have all into the insurance company, and we'll just cover it however it needs to be covered at the standard. So that's that.
And they did respond to me late this afternoon. Typically, you don't have coverage for physical damage on streets. We'd have our liability insurance, somebody got hurt on it, but you don't insure streets.
And the construction bonds and their insurance is required by statute anyway.
That's right.
Well, it just said shall on that, you know, in your intention.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Other questions on that ordinance?
And to be clear, so this authorizes the borrowing, and the timing on that is, if this is acceptable to you, the borrowing on this would be 30 to 45 days from now, right at the end of March, beginning on April.
And this would be to cover the design, the engineering, the construction, everything, cash flow, those monthly.
That's right. And as we talked about last month, NDOT and our contract requires you to pay up front for some of these expenditures like engineering. So you'll use this as kind of a line of credit to write checks to pay for some of the expenses. And then when the reimbursements come in from NDOT, that will use those reimbursements to buy the credit line down. And then when next month it comes, it'll go back up. And then when we get more money from NDOT, it'll go back down. Mayor and I talked about this. I'd be surprised if that line of credit ever has any more than $200,000 or $300,000. That's the match. But nonetheless, the obligations that you have are in the $2 million range, so you need to have secured funding to make sure you have that covered. So this authorizes the borrowing of $1.7 million the second ordinance, the appropriation ordinance, appropriates these proceeds as well as $200,000 of cash on hand to make sure that we get this covered.
That would be for every cost connect with that, except I said construction. I was thinking construction inspection. The construction, we don't have to pay ahead of time. NDOT will pay those as those invoices come in. So it'd be for engineering and inspection and those kinds of things. So, clear as mud. Any questions on that? Could I have a motion then to approve that ordinance, please?
So moved.
A motion by Councilman Dahl and a second by Councilman Brown to approve that ordinance, and we will need roll call vote on that too, please. Beth.
Brown.
Aye.
Hanson.
Aye.
Yes.
Brown. I'm sorry, Councilman Dahl.
Aye.
Aye. Councilman
Aye.
I believe that was unanimous. So that ordinance passes. Okay, and then the next ordinance, as Chris has explained, is the approval to appropriate and use that money, basically. So that is ordinance 6-2019. Could I please have a motion for second reading of that motion, or that ordinance?
Second reading?
Yeah, this is the final reading, 6-2019.
Let me see. Huh? 6-2019.
6.
Oh, okay.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Chambers, second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay. Ordinance number 6-2019, appropriation ordinance.
I like those nice short titles.
Be glad of it.
Any questions on that?
Okay,
thank you. Motion by Councilman Sidebottom, second by Councilwoman Decker to approve Ordinance 6-2019. Another roll call vote when you catch up, Beth.
Councilman Brown?
Aye.
Councilman Hanson?
Aye.
Councilman
Chambers? Yes.
Councilman Dahl?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that motion passes, and that ordinance also goes into effect. Okay, then the next ordinance is 7-2019, establishment of the redevelopment authority. Could I have a motion to read that ordinance? A motion by Councilman Sidebottom and a second by Councilman Ball to read it. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Ordinance number 7-2019, an ordinance establishing a redevelopment authority for the City of Washington, Indiana, pursuant to Indiana Code 36-7-1425, and repealing all ordinances inconsistent therewith. Whereas, pursuant to the provisions of Indiana Code 36-7-14.5, a municipality such as the City of Washington, Indiana, may establish a redevelopment authority as a separate body corporate in politics and as an instrumentality of the municipality with all of the powers set forth in the Act. And, whereas, pursuant to the Act, a redevelopment authority is organized for the purposes of, one, financing, constructing, and leasing local public improvements to the municipality's redevelopment commission, 2, financing and constructing additional improvements to local public improvements owned by the authority and leasing them to the redevelopment commission, 3, acquiring all of or a portion of one or more local public improvements from the commission by purchase or lease and leasing such local public improvements back to the redevelopment commission with any additional improvements that may be made to them, and 4, acquiring all or a portion of one or more local public improvements from the Redevelopment Commission by purchase or lease to fund or refund indebtedness incurred on account of those local public improvements to enable the Redevelopment Commission to make a savings in debt service obligations or lease rental obligations, or to obtain relief from covenants that the Redevelopment Commission considers to be unduly burdensome, and whereas the city has established a Department of Redevelopment known as the City of Washington Redevelopment Commission, and whereas the Common Council finds that it is necessary to establish the Redevelopment Authority with all powers under the Act, including assisting the Commission in the financing and construction of local public improvements in the city. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana, that one, the Common Council of the City now deems it to be in the best interest of the city and its citizens to establish and create a redevelopment authority as a separate body corporate and politic, and as an instrumentality of the city with all of the powers under the Act to be known as the City of Washington Redevelopment Authority, which redevelopment authority is hereby created. Two, pursuant to the Act, the Redevelopment Authority shall be governed by a board of directors composed of three members, each of whom must be residents of the city. The mayor of the city shall appoint the members of the board. Members of the board shall serve for a term of 3 years and may be reappointed for subsequent terms. The mayor shall fill any vacancy on the board by appointing a new member for the remainder of the vacated term. Any board member may be removed for cause by the mayor. Board members shall not receive a salary, and no profit or money of the Redevelopment Authority shall inure to the benefit of a member. Three, upon their appointment by the mayor, the members of the board shall take and subscribe an oath of office under Indiana Code 5-4-1, which shall be endorsed upon the certificate of appointment and filed with the records of the Redevelopment Authority. Four, the board shall hold its meetings and carry out all of its functions, powers, and purposes in accordance with and pursuant to the Act as it may be amended from time to time. Five, all other ordinances, resolutions, or parts thereof in conflict with the provisions and the intent of this ordinance are hereby repealed. Six, this ordinance shall be in full force and effect from and after its passage and execution by the mayor, passed and adopted this blank day of blank 2019.
Chris, I would ask you to take the floor again and explain.
The Redevelopment Authority is a three-member board. I think the ordinance kind of tells you how to be made. I was working for the mayor. Here's why you have a redevelopment authority. It's in a financing vehicle, much like the redevelopment authority. In this instance, how it is used, certainly this has been done hundreds, if not even thousands of times across the state. It is the redevelopment authority will, and these all will be before you in the coming weeks. We'll have a lease with the city where the city leases designated roads to the redevelopment authority for an option. And in that, it will kind of say the rights and obligations. The city will still operate, maintain the roads, but they will lease these roads to the redevelopment authority for an option. The redevelopment authority, in turn, will lease the roads over to the redevelopment commission. And the Redevelopment Commission will make lease payments over to the Redevelopment Authority an amount exactly equal to the principal and interest payments on the bonds that the Redevelopment Authority will issue to pay for your local match on this project. So this is a financing vehicle. I want to say the total match is like $3,675,000 that's anticipated. So the Redevelopment Authority will issue these bonds, and the payments from the Redevelopment Commission will pay for this, or will be an amount equal to pay for the principal and interest payments on these bonds. And these bonds will not count against your constitutional debt limit. So you'll still have that out there. That's where we are. It's a financing vehicle that lets you do the project and allow us to get the rest of our local match that we need to complete the project.
Do we need to move quickly, or can we read it again?
Councilman Chambers, the thought was you guys would just introduce this tonight, and then it would be on your agenda for passage on March 11th, but that works for you all.
Okay. That's all I wanted to
say. Any questions for Chris on that?
This is Chris for the mayor. This is the boundaries on just the highway. There's no other projects that would, as they are there, that we would put under them.
This is just the highway.
Just the highway. And then once the highway is done, this would be dissolved.
It will not be dissolved by the
No, I said once it's the highway is completed.
No, because there will be bonds outstanding for a period of time. So this was a question the mayor asked me. So no, it won't be dissolved until the bonds are paid off, and you can dissolve it sometime after that, or you may use it to do other projects.
That would be much other project.
That's right.
But the projects would still come through us.
That's right, because then you're going to have to redo the leases, and you're going to have to, it's going to be a whole new deal. So the only thing you're approving right now is this project. The leases will be just for this project. The bond ordinances will be just for this project. And we're going to, you know, we're going to have to do some documents that describe very specifically what this is for. So if you want to go beyond that in the future, you're going to have to go through the process again.
Okay. All right. Other questions? Well, we got the expert here. We want to ask all the questions we have. So. My way of thinking of this, and Chris and I have had this discussion, much like a school building corporation. You know, a school can't go into debt to build a building. They set up a building authority. The building authority leases the building to the school who makes the payments on the bond. Is that a fair comparison?
It is a very fair comparison.
Okay. So if you're familiar with that, so I know some of you have worked with that before. Okay, that ordinance will be up for adoption at our next meeting then. Next item of business is the Clerk Treasurer Beth Maguki to present the annual report that you've completed.
Payable and accounts receivable total. And the last part is the that we pay to the
non-profit, non-government entities for those things that they provide.
A big jump. A lot of funds moving in and out.
How many hours do you have in that report? Don't ask.
I just have some minutes, so you can do the math from there.
Any questions for Beth on those numbers? I hope you had a chance to look at those.
John, not done. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Beth. And then the final annual report is by the mayor's State of the City address. So I haven't spent as many hours on this, I know, as Beth did on her report, but please bear with me if you would. I want to start off by saying that the state of our city is in excellent condition. With our conservative approach to fiscal management, with the help of Beth and others and everyone's cooperation, the city's finances are in very good shape. But more important than the money is what we've accomplished to improve things across the city and what we've accomplished in working on some things that have needed attention for a long time. I want to discuss some of last year's accomplishments and then highlight some of the things that we will be working on for the remainder of 2019. 2 weeks ago, I gave all of the council members copies of each annual report generated by each department head. And as one of the council members pointed out, 2 weeks ago, I think it was you, David, after you reviewing those reports, it was an extremely busy year. At that meeting, along with copies of those annual reports, I gave you a kind of a summation of some of the key points. And I'm not going to go through all that this evening, but I would ask you to allow me to touch on one or two accomplishments for each of the departments. Because I think it's important to get it in the record and for the media and everybody to hear some of these things. The street department upgraded some badly needed and worn out equipment, expanded the areas that they mow and clean, and keep cleaned up, and repainted the city's B&O parade train. The fire department responded to more than 1,000 calls, including emergency management assistance calls. Our police department handled 13,210 calls, upgraded some equipment, organized the safety night out, and hired 3 new police officers last year. We processed about 800 animals through our animal shelter, including about 400 of those that were for residents outside the city limits, and we did some improvements to the building, adding a roof over the outside kennels. In our building commission and our code enforcement office, we processed some 387 permits of various types and handled 39 cases with the plan commission and the Board of Zoning Appeals. Issued over 1,400 code violations, and worked to complete 17 sidewalk projects through our sidewalk cost share program with property owners. Our city engineer prepared plans for drainage improvement in the Morningside, Terrace Park, and 12th Street neighborhoods, and approved drainage plans for 17 businesses. Our electric department made several upgrades to their system and upgraded trucks and their chipper equipment. The wastewater department treated some 1.3 million gallons of sewage, worked with 11 construction and upgrade projects, and handled 204 loads of street sweepings, and got rid of more than 24 tons of household hazardous waste recycled material. The water department replaced the filter media in the treatment plant and started drilling a new replacement well and replaced the ladders on the well platforms, and repaired 27 large water breaks around the city. The employees of the utility office processed some 96,000 bills, filed 130 small claims court cases, and assisted with the complete restructure of our stormwater system that will spread the cost of storm drainage more fairly across our customer base. Working with information technology vendors last year, we debuted a new city website with a fresh, more user-friendly interface, some new links, and new video. And our Parks and Recreation Department remodeled the building that the city now owns that is popularly known as the Kiwanis Building next to the 4-H Fairgrounds, so it's more modern and desirable for public rental. They improved the filter system at the Water World of Washington. They installed exercise equipment around Longfellow Park. And they organize no less than 8 events in Eastside Park. I think that's every one of the departments. I hope I haven't missed any of them. And these are just some of the highlights of what they've worked on. There were others, some other one-time improvements and equipment upgrades. And add all that to their regular normal things that the employees do. And yes, I think everybody has to agree it's been a very busy year throughout the city departments. Two large projects I want to talk about that garnered much of my personal attention last year were the 15th Street Railroad Overpass Bridge and Business 50, both projects that have been cussed and discussed for many years and decades by this council and this administration and several previous councils and administrations. When I gave my State of the City address 1 year ago, I told you that work was going to start on the bridge the following month. Well, it did. In March, and as you know, we dedicated and opened that bridge this past December 6th. I think all will agree that it's a safer and more functional structure, one that is now has higher clearance underneath it for railroad cars, a higher load limit over the bridge, a lower arch for improved line of sight, and a pedestrian lane that separates walkers and bicyclists from the vehicular traffic. It also has sound rail side rails that aren't rotting off and falling away, and it's more eye-appealing. Besides the bridge, part of that project was the street approach, and it was resurfaced as part of the project, followed up then by our street department that repaved the remainder of 15th Street between National Highway and Grand Avenue. And Hazel Street that adjoins that, a cul-de-sac street, will be resurfaced this summer. I want to take this opportunity to publicly and officially thank the Davis County officials and the Davis County Economic Development Foundation for cooperating on this project. It became a true example of what can happen when various entities work together. As far as the city goes, we also have to thank the Indiana Department of Transportation for matching about 40 or 45% of the city's cost as a result of approving our application to make this a community crossings project. Between those funds and using money from the special local option income tax distribution that the city received in 2017, we were able to pay our portion of the cost of that bridge without taking any money away from other paving projects nor from other local taxes. Business 50. Maybe we should start calling it by its other name, the National Highway, because it won't be a Highway 50 too much longer. Is the other long-maligned project for the city. After long and at times intense negotiations, we have a plan that will result in a complete conversion of that roadway from a deteriorated and unsafe road into a street that will be something to be proud of. And I want to particularly thank David and Blake and Alan, who helped on some of those negotiations, last-minute negotiations, to get some of the language in agreement that we felt was necessary from the city for the city's protection. While the state of Indiana has proven over the last two decades that this road is certainly a low priority and low maintenance road for them, it remains a major artery for our city residents, for county residents who do business in the city, and for out-of-area visitors coming into town from Interstate 69. The county has taken traffic counts around the county, and this is the heaviest traveled roadway in the county. It's become obvious that the state of Indiana will only do the minimum necessary. I've watched the road, like you, continually deteriorate every year for many years. The beauty of this project is the amount of money that the state is putting in. While the state generally will require local matches for road projects of 20 or 30% of the cost, our negotiations have resulted in them putting up approximately 87% of the cost, and that includes 87% of the cost for new curbs and sidewalks, which the state generally does not participate in. The local match for this project will be around $3 million. I know Chris mentioned a higher number, but we really think it's going to be very close to $3 million. That's only about 13% of the total cost, and we feel real good about that. The project as planned will improve this road from city limit, from the roundabout to the west limit just behind American Table Restaurant. The road will be completely resurfaced, including full-depth reconstruction where needed. New sidewalks plus multi-purpose trailway and a portion of it. New curbs and sewer inlets, ADA access ramps, and new driveway approaches for the more than 80 businesses and more than 100 homes along that route. Not only is our portion of the cost less than 15%, but we will do this without raising taxes or taking money away from other street paving projects. This project is a perfect example of the wise use of tax increment financing, or TIF. The roadway runs through all three of the city's TIF districts, and so the money going into the city's TIF funds are paid by businesses and industries that have built or expanded and located inside those three TIF districts. And these are the taxes that they already pay as a portion of their property taxes. So the surface road work and the other amenities I've mentioned does not increase property taxes on businesses, industries, or homeowners 1 cent over what we all now pay. Think of that again. No additional taxes will be required in order for us to fix that eyesore. When finished, there will be no more flooding in front of Washington Nursing Center and Griffith Elementary. No more tripping over uneven sidewalks between the West Limits and State Street area. Better access for physically challenged walkers, a dedicated pathway for bikers and parents pushing infant strollers in the center business section, new curbs for improved drainage and looks, no busted and bent wheel rims like we've had the last month caused by deep potholes, and smooth driving. That's the vision that can become reality with this project. On top of that, our engineers have told us that the need to tear up that roadway and replace water and sewer lines under that road will be necessary in the near future, regardless of who owns the road. So with the advice and the prudent judgment of this council sitting around here, we are planning on replacing those lines that we believe are 70 or 80 or maybe even 90 years old with new ones. Where possible, we will try to move them underneath the sidewalk or the trail out from underneath the paved roadway. New street lights are part of the project, as well as underground electric service in some areas. Also, the plans call for the installation of a conduit, the whole length of the roadway, to hopefully be leased someday to communications companies to easily pull fiber optic cables for high-speed internet through that part of the city as kind of the spine for high-speed internet. The cost of this work, the utility piece, is about $8 million, and it will be paid through the utility rates. The comparisons show us still remain lower than neighboring cities. Again, not through increased property taxes, and because the road is new with a solid base, maintenance should be minimal for many years with far fewer potholes for the city to fill than even in other areas of the city with older streets. While some of the seats of the faces of the, up here around the semicircle will be occupied by new faces by the time this project is complete, my goal and the goal of several of the council members throughout this process has been to put a plan in place and have the funding ready to pay for it. I'm not insinuating that executing the plan will be easy nor without disruption. No project of this size ever is, but the planning, the design, and the financing will be in place, ready to be finished. And couple all that with just the beauty of what it's going to look like. Some of you have seen these drawings. These are artist renderings of what the roadway can look like. For our own enjoyment and for visitors coming into town, especially those visitors that just might be an unknown site selector or a company executive looking for a place to build. The new road will make a statement that Washington does care about our city, our citizens, and our infrastructure. According to one 2009 study that I've seen, walkability, just as one piece of this project, as defined by good sidewalks or trails that connect parts of a community, can increase property values anywhere from $3,000 to $24,000. While we worked on that, and spent a lot of time on it this evening because it's an important project, it's probably the single largest project the city's taken on, the department heads of this city have continued doing their regular good job of running their departments and improving equipment and operations wherever they could, given the money and the time that they had. And while we're speaking of money, I should note that our collective approach to being fiscally conservative resulted in spending only 88% of budgeted expenses in 2018 in the general fund, and 83 to 91% of most other budgeted funds. That continues a trend of 81 to 90% each year for at least the last 3 years. That means we're better prepared for any unexpected emergency that could come along and maintains our fund balances at very respectable levels. Another way to look at that is that since 2014, we've returned between $490,000 and $900,000 each year to the general fund that had been previously appropriated. The growth in general fund expenditures from 2015 to 2018 has averaged just over 4.5% per year, and that's not just the operations and the personnel expense. That includes the cost of many improvements in plant and equipment in those departments making up the general fund. I think that's a very respectable growth rate. The National Highway Improvement Project will occupy quite a bit of time during the remainder of this year. We will also continue to make sure all other areas of the city and the utility operations run smoothly. Some other specific areas that we will be addressing include: we have several transitions in several personnel positions due to announced retirements in four departments, and we will be completing the staffing in our IT function. Continued diligence over dilapidated properties that just seem to never go away, and continued efforts to keep our trash and tall grass and unsightly code violations in check, which, by the way, another study I recently read talks about how that can increase property values in a neighborhood, too, by keeping everything more sightly. Quality of life amenities, such as in our parks, our animal care, and our community events, and public safety as it relates to police and fire department staffing, equipment, and dispatch. So I don't see myself or any of our departments slowing down much as we continue into 2019. Now, why did I ask everybody to bring a food item or a pet product this evening? As you leave, take a look at what all we've accumulated back there. We've gathered quite a few items. We will share that with Feed My Sheep and our own animal shelter as a sign of what can be accomplished by working together. Could one person have gone out and bought all this? Maybe. Or would anyone do it? Maybe not, or not likely. But we combined our individual efforts, our individual sacrifices, and we've accumulated quite a stash of donations and good intentions to make a bit of difference in this corner of the world that we call Washington. I think it's a small sign of how we accomplished all the things we've accomplished over the last 7 years by working together. It also is another statement that as public servants, which all of us are that are either elected or appointed in this city, serve in many ways, including service to our four-legged friends and service to those less fortunate. This council, our Board of Public Works, our department heads, I think work quite well together to get things done. As I see it, the effectiveness of governing a city and the quality of place it offers is a collaborative effort. The success is assured more by being able to work together than by the talents of any one individual. My thanks to each council member around this room. My thanks to Tim and to Beth for your help and support. I want to thank you also to each of the department heads that are sitting out here this evening. What you do makes my job a whole lot easier. I want to publicly thank every city employee who comes to work every day doing their job, whatever that job is, to provide city services to our fellow city residents. In the final analysis, pay our salaries anyway. I have to thank my executive assistant, Debbie, for helping me in so many ways. I can't even see her back there, but she's back there somewhere. Especially in keeping my busy calendar in line and many times reminding me of, hey, where you were supposed to be somewhere 3 minutes ago, you better get going. I also would be remiss if I didn't thank my family who's represented here this evening. Thanks, guys, for coming. My daughters, Brenda and Angie and Lindsay, and our son-in-law Scott, and we also have Maddox back there somewhere, our youngest grandson, and I think Catherine's back there, our youngest granddaughter who just turned one last week. So I want to thank them for their support and understanding in just so many ways, and their involvement in a lot of things in the community that help us make a better community together. And finally, most importantly, I want to thank my best friend and my wife, what will soon be 45 years in a couple of weeks. Elaine is my support and strength when things go right and are happening the most of the time, and also the times when those days are a little bit less than ideal. So thank you, honey, for being there for me. And then, and then I thank God for all the blessings that we have in Washington and all the people and the citizens and the businesses and the schools and the organizations that we work with every day, every week to make this place home. My prayer is that God will continue to bless us and keep us safe. Thank you for your attention this evening. Have a great 2019. Thank you. Okay. Last item is always we go around the table. Jerry, do you have anything? David? Blake? Alan? Tim?
I have nothing.
Doug?
Unfortunately, I do.
Okay.
I've got first two things really aren't ours, but to find out who we can contact to do something about it. Number one would be the road between the little mall and Walmart. I mean, there is a crater in there the size of a
train mall.
It's a little strip mall.
My little money road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who that belongs to, if we could get a letter from the mayor's office.
Belongs to the whoever owns that strip mall, right?
The Walmart Corporation. The perception
is it on Walmart's? Is it on Walmart's proper? I'm not sure.
The people perceive that to be Washington's road, which I know it's not. But if we can put some pressure on them to do something about that.
I'll see if I can get do you know who to contact? Okay. All right.
The other one would be by Reed's Deli.
Yeah.
Guy contacted me today before us leaving here, said, for some reason there's water keep going over that highway and it's freezing every morning. Is there any way we can contact the highway department and figure something out for that?
Didn't your guys take a look at that, Scott, a while back?
There's a catch right there that needs to be rebuilt on the state highway.
I understand that, but if we can get a letter from the mayor's office or something.
I don't know who, I would know who to talk to you and look at that. That's
Long State Highway. We're not allowed to do anything. I know. I understand. It's not us.
Is there a place for the water to go? Do we have a sewer there?
There's a culvert running on the highway. I'm not even sure where it goes.
When I designed South Park, we laid a new storm sewer across our property.
Yeah, it's...
Okay.
They need to replace what's under the highway.
Well, it'd probably be a good time to talk to him about that as they work to change that intersection anyway, so good point. Well,
it is. It's just before you get there.
It's right. Oh, yeah.
But it's not always been there for some reason.
Well, they put a piece of mesh wire over the top of it. I don't think it gets cleaned once every 10 years.
But anyway, you know, okay. We'll contact State Highway or something.
Okay.
And then the third thing, I'll just get on this real briefly. Is there any way that we can put Brant's report on our website?
The code violation? Yeah.
With some type of easy access to it. Because I know Jerry goes and has him printed out. You can't print his report out. It comes out all these pages, unless you got a special.
Show my Brant Powell, the code enforcement report. Huh. Okay. Oh, the one, oh, I see which one you mean.
Not the annual report, the monthly, the monthly one.
If we can get that in there.
I'll see what we can do about that.
I know, but if we could just get on where we could just tell them to go to the website, it'd just be so much easier.
Yeah, it prints out and...
Yeah, I got to, when I go to print it, I got to do some tweaking.
You
too.
Highlight what you want printed and then just set print everything, it'll print just that.
Okay, well, yeah. I didn't know. I tried it one time.
Yeah.
I have to cancel.
I'll see what we can do.
Okay.
That's it. Kira?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah,
okay. Anyone else have anything for the good of the order? I would entertain a motion to adjourn then.
Some
a second?
Second.
Councilman Chambers, Councilman Allen. Meeting adjourned. Board of Public Works in about 5 or 10 minutes.
Yes, I was too.
It's been a big year.
Wonderful.
Anyway, I give that.
My son is always going to.